Hello, welcome to the first episode of the Justin Oh Show. I'm your host, Justin Oh. This podcast discusses the trending topics and political news in the U.S. and the world. Given that the Georgia Senate runoff election is in less than a week, let's discuss what happened during the midterm elections, our predictions for the Georgia Senate runoff election, the future of the leadership of both major parties, the Republicans and Democrats, Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana, who is not to be confused with former President John Fitzgerald Kennedy, whom he has no relation to, is considering a potential bid for the governorship, and former President Donald Trump's announcement of his 2024 presidential campaign. I understand that some of you listening may not understand the midterm elections and how they work. The U.S. has presidential elections every 4 years, and in the middle of those 4 years, there are midterm elections where one-third of the Senate seats, all House of Representatives seats, and 36 state governorships are for re-election. These elections do not have as high of a turnout as elections coinciding with presidential elections. But trust me, they are very important. This year was a midterm election year, the first midterm election since President Joe Biden took office. Biden has very low approval ratings, usually in the 40s, and disapproval in the 50s, which varies among different pollsters. Given his unpopularity, the Republicans were expected to win big, or in other words, a red wave was projected to happen. The Republicans treated these elections as a referendum on Biden's handling of economic issues, such as inflation and gas prices. The Democrats, however, treated these elections as a referendum on abortion rights, given that the U.S. Supreme Court overturned landmark Supreme Court cases Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood v. Casey in the recent Supreme Court case Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization by siding with Dobbs, stating that the Constitution has never stated anything about abortion rights and that such an issue is to be handled by the states. Those two cases were very instrumental in allowing women the right to have an abortion. A fun fact is that Biden, as a senator from Delaware in the 80s and 90s, voted against abortion rights believing Roe v. Wade was wrongfully decided, but now he supports abortion rights and believes Roe v. Wade is the law of the land. He promised to codify Roe v. Wade if the Democrats won the midterms. A CNN exit poll put inflation as the biggest issue for voters and abortion as the second biggest issue. Up until the midterm election day, the Republicans were strongly favored to win control of the House, and control of the Senate would be a toss-up, slightly favoring the Republicans. This midterm election year was said to be disappointing for the Republicans. While they flipped control of the House from Democratic to Republican, winning 222 seats as opposed to the Democrats' 213 seats, they have failed to win control of the Senate. 218 House seats were needed to control the House, and 51 Senate seats were needed for the Republicans to control the Senate. The Democrats only needed 50 seats to control the Senate because Vice President Kamala Harris, who is a Democrat, holds a tie-breaking vote in the Senate, which means that should the Senate be split by a 50-50 vote in certain instances, the Vice President can cast a vote to break the tie. The Democrats as of now hold 50 seats in the Senate, including two independent senators who caucus with them, as opposed to the Republicans holding 49 as the Senate race in Georgia is yet to be decided through a runoff election between Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock and former NFL running back Herschel Walker, which has resulted in a runoff election with the two candidates facing each other on December 6th. The most competitive Senate races were in the states of Georgia, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, North Carolina, and Arizona. The most competitive governor races were in the states of Arizona, Nevada, Kansas, Wisconsin, and Oregon. Most Republican candidates for the House, Senate, and governorships were endorsed by former President Donald Trump. Trump endorses candidates that agree with him, especially those who deny the results of the 2020 election, and those candidates often tend to be weak and not have much electability. Trump was often the one to blame for the Republicans' disappointing performance in the midterms. Since almost every Republican candidate said they would support Trump if he became the Republican nominee for president in the 2024 presidential election, and believed in the big election lie that the former president started. Former U.S. Speaker of the House and member of the Republican Party Paul Ryan stated in an interview that if the Republican Party continues to follow Trump, they will not succeed, and that one thing the Republicans should have done was to nominate more traditional conservative Republicans. We say traditional because the Republican Party has changed. The Republicans were originally the Grand Old Party, or GOP for short. They were known as the party of small government, limited taxes, limited government spending, strong national defense, the right to bear arms, law and order, individual freedom, and personal liberties, but now they are the party of Trump. A majority of Republicans support Trump, who attempted to overthrow the American democracy and overturn our presidential election, and the democratic will of the people. He is the only president to have been impeached twice. For those reasons, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is a Hollywood actor, former governor of California, and a member of the Republican Party, referred to Trump as a failed president. The biggest surprises in this year's Senate races have to be in the states of Nevada and Pennsylvania. Up until the election, these two states were projected to be Republican victories. Former Nevada Attorney General and nominee for governor in 2018, Adam Laxalt in Nevada, and celebrity doctor and TV host Mehmet Oz in Pennsylvania, who you might better know as Dr. Oz. They were both candidates endorsed by Trump and were both expected to win their Senate races. However, incumbent Senator Catherine Cortez Masto narrowly won re-election in Nevada, and incumbent Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman pulled off an upset in Pennsylvania, flipping the seat previously held by Republican incumbent Pat Toomey, who decided not to seek re-election, from Republican to Democrat. Cortez Masto had earned 48.8% of the vote compared to Laxalt's 48.1% of the vote, and Fetterman won 51.2% of the vote compared to Oz's 46.3% of the vote. This seat was the only pickup this year by either party, since the Republicans up until now have failed to pick up any seats. Cortez Masto's victory in Nevada and Fetterman's pickup in Pennsylvania guaranteed the Democrats the Senate majority, regardless of what happens in the Georgia Senate runoff. The biggest surprises in this year's governor races have to be in the states of Wisconsin and Arizona. Wisconsin was expected to flip from Democratic to Republican, with Republican businessman Tim Michaels, who was endorsed by Trump, and defeated former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clefish, who was endorsed by former Wisconsin Governor in 2016 Republican presidential candidate Scott Walker, and former Vice President Mike Pence in the Republican primaries. He was facing incumbent Democratic Governor Tony Evers. Evers was elected to a first term in 2018, defeating the then incumbent Governor Walker in a narrow race. Michaels was favored to win this election, however, Evers won re-election to a second term, winning 51.2% of the vote, compared to Michaels' 47.8% of the vote. The Arizona governor race had Republican news anchor Carrie Lake favored to win against Democratic Arizona Secretary of State Katie Hobbs. Lake was also endorsed by Trump and had defeated businesswoman Karen Taylor Robeson in the Republican primary. Robeson was endorsed by Republican incumbent governor of Arizona Doug Ducey and was also endorsed by Pence. This election ended up a real nail-biter, with Hobbs winning 50.3% of the vote and winning the election, and Lake only winning 49.3% of the vote. Lake had refused to concede the election and claimed there was voter fraud in Maricopa County. This resulted in Hobbs flipping this seat from Republican to Democratic. Ducey was elected governor back in 2014 and was therefore ineligible to run for re-election to a third term due to term limits. This year's governor race had four flips, three by the Democrats and one by the Republicans. Other than Hobbs flipping the governor seat in Arizona, the Democrats flipped the Republican governor seats in the states of Maryland and Massachusetts. Democratic businessman Wes Moore defeated Republican state delegate Dan Cox with 64.4% of the vote, compared to Cox's 32.2% of the vote. Cox had the endorsement of Trump and had defeated Maryland Secretary of Commerce Kelly Scholz, who was endorsed by the incumbent Republican governor of Maryland Larry Hogan in the Republican primary. Hogan was elected governor back in 2014 and was therefore ineligible to run for re-election to a third term due to term limits. He did consider running for the Senate against incumbent Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen, but later declined to run for the Republican nomination. Incumbent Democratic Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey had defeated Republican nominee Jeff Deal with 63.5% of the vote compared to Deal's 34.9% of the vote. Deal was formerly a state representative and was the Republican nominee for Senate against incumbent Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren back in 2018. Deal was also endorsed by Trump. Incumbent Republican Governor of Massachusetts Charlie Baker was elected governor in 2014. Baker was eligible to run for re-election to a third term since Massachusetts does not have term limits for governor. However, he had declined to run due to the prospect of a Trump-endorsed candidate primary challenging him. He has also not endorsed a candidate to replace him. The Republicans' only flip in governor's races happened in the state of Nevada. Incumbent Clark County Sheriff Joe Lombardo, who was the Republican nominee and endorsed by Trump, challenged the incumbent Democratic Governor of Nevada, Steve Sisolak, who was seeking a second term. Lombardo won the election and successfully flipped the governor's seat in Nevada, winning 48.8% of the vote, compared to Sisolak's 47.3% of the vote. Out of all 50 states, 26 governors will be Republicans and 24 will be Democrats. This year, 26 states had coinciding Senate and governor races. Out of those states, Nevada, Kansas, Wisconsin, New Hampshire, and Vermont had split their tickets, meaning they voted for a senator and governor each from a different party. As mentioned, Nevada elected a Republican governor but a Democratic senator. Kansas re-elected incumbent Democratic Governor Laura Kelly with 49.5% of the vote against Republican nominee incumbent Kansas Attorney General Derek Schmidt, who won 47.4% of the vote. However, Kansas re-elected incumbent Republican Senator Jerry Moran with 60.1% of the vote against Democratic nominee former Kansas City Mayor Mark Holland, who won 36.9% of the vote. Wisconsin has a pretty special case. As mentioned, Tony Evers won re-election as governor in an upset victory. Incumbent Republican Senator Ron Johnson was first elected to the Senate in 2010, defeating the then incumbent Democratic Senator Russ Feingold. He won re-election in 2016 against the same opponent. Despite pledging to serve only two terms, Johnson decided to run for a third term. He was not the only Senate candidate to break a two-term pledge this election cycle. Incumbent Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky, who was also a Republican and was elected and re-elected in the same year as Johnson, also pledged to serve only two terms, but ran for a third one this year. Paul held onto a seat in a landslide victory, winning 61.8% of the vote against his opponent, the Democratic nominee and former state representative, Charles Booker, who won 38.2% of the vote. Booker previously ran for the Senate in 2020 to challenge the then-Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, but lost in the primary to the then-Democratic nominee and Air Force veteran Amy McGrath, who went on to lose the general election. Johnson ran against Democratic nominee and incumbent Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, and he narrowly defeated him with 50.5% of the vote compared to Barnes' 49.5% of the vote. New Hampshire and Vermont are also special cases, as they have Republican governors who usually win in landslides despite being Democratic-leaning states. New Hampshire was said to be a competitive race for the Senate. Incumbent Democratic Senator and former Governor Maggie Hassan was seeking re-election to a second term. Her opponent was the Republican nominee and retired Army General Don Bolduc, who was endorsed by Trump and defeated State Senator Chuck Morse in the primary. Morse was endorsed by incumbent Republican Governor Chris Sununu, who was seen as a potential Senate candidate, however he declined to run and decided to run for re-election as governor. Hassan defeated Bolduc with 53.5% of the vote, compared to Bolduc's 44.4% of the vote. Sununu ran against the Democratic nominee and physician Tom Sherman and defeated him with 57.2% of the vote, compared to Sherman, who won 41.6% of the vote. In Vermont, incumbent Democratic Senator and President pro tempore of the Senate, Patrick Leahy, decided to retire instead of run for re-election. He had served in the Senate since 1975, making him the only sitting senator to have served as a senator during Gerald Ford's presidency. Incumbent Democratic Representative Peter Welch ran to replace Leahy and faced Republican nominee and retired Army officer Gerald Malloy. Welch won 67.3% of the vote compared to Malloy's 27.6% of the vote. Incumbent Republican Governor Phil Scott decided to run for re-election as governor and declined to run for the Senate. He ran against Democratic nominee and activist Brenda Siegel. Scott won 69.2% of the vote compared to Siegel's 23.4% of the vote. The Georgia Senate race was a very close race. Incumbent Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock was seeking re-election to his first full term after winning a special election in 2020 against the then-incumbent Republican Senator Kelly Loeffler. Loeffler was never elected. She was appointed by Governor Brian Kemp to fill the seat left vacant by Johnny Isaacson, who resigned from the Senate in 2019 due to health issues. Warnock had won a plurality of the vote on Election Day, but since no one won a majority, which is 50% of the votes or higher, the election had to move into a runoff. The same happened with the regularly scheduled Senate election. However, the then-incumbent Republican Senator David Perdue had won the plurality over Democratic nominee John Ossoff, but not a majority, so a runoff happened the same time as the special election. Herschel Walker, a former NFL running back and chair of the President's Council on Fitness, Sports, and Nutrition, won the Republican nomination in a landslide during the primary. He was the candidate endorsed by Trump in this race. His candidacy has had numerous controversies and concerns from members of both parties. Walker, up until the election, had been living in Texas for several years, and even paid taxes there. He has a house in the state of Georgia, but it's been recently revealed that he has rented it out. His most notable scandal involved a shocking revelation. It was revealed a long time ago that Walker had an affair outside his marriage with another woman. This woman had gotten pregnant, and Walker had forced her to get an abortion, and was even willing to pay for the operation. So much for being pro-life, right? This woman is apparently the mother of one of his kids. Up until the election, Walker was very slightly favored to win, and a runoff was expected by many. Warnock won the plurality of the vote with 49.44%, and Walker won 48.49% of the vote. Third-party candidate and Libertarian Party nominee Chase Oliver won 2.07% of the vote. Since no candidate won 50% or higher, this race is scheduled for a runoff election on December 6. Warnock currently leads in most polls. It is more likely that Warnock will win this runoff, and he is the favorite to win. Republican Senator Rick Scott from Florida announced he would challenge incumbent Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell for his leadership position. Scott was unsuccessful, and McConnell is set once again to be the Senate Minority Leader. Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer from New York, who just won re-election this year, is also set to serve as Senate Majority Leader once again. Republican Representative Andy Biggs from Arizona's 5th District, who has also previously served as the chair of the House Freedom Caucus, the most far-right caucus within the Republican Party, challenged incumbent House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy from California's 22nd District to be the next House Leader for the Republicans. Biggs, however, lost in a landslide, and McCarthy was re-elected Republican House Leader and is therefore the Republican nominee for Speaker of the House. Incumbent Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, a Democratic representative from California's 12th District, announced she would be stepping down from House leadership. Pelosi was the first female Speaker of the House. The party favorite Hakeem Jeffries from New York's 8th District and current chair of the House Democratic Caucus was later elected Democratic House Leader, setting him up to be House Minority Leader and the Democratic nominee for Speaker of the House. He is the first person of color to be a major party House Leader and will be the first person of color to be the Speaker of the House if elected. Justin Amash has expressed interest in being a nonpartisan Speaker of the House. Amash formerly represented Michigan's 3rd District, the district once represented by former President Gerald Ford. He was elected as a Republican in 2010, but in 2020 switched his party affiliation to Libertarian, making him the first and only Libertarian member of Congress. Amash declined to stand for re-election in 2020 and was replaced by Republican Peter Magier, a member of the wealthy Magier family. Magier was one of 14 House Republicans who voted to impeach Trump during his second impeachment and had sought re-election to a second term, only to lose the nomination to a Trump-endorsed candidate, John Gibbs. Gibbs later went on to lose the general election to Democrat Hillary Scholten. Amash being elected Speaker is theoretically possible, since the Speaker of the House is not required to have a seat in the House. Amash has no chance of being elected Speaker given the circumstances. The Republican National Committee, or RNC for short, is expected to elect a new leader in January, which they do every 2 years. Incumbent Party Chair Ronna McDaniel, who is also the daughter of Republican Senator from Utah, 2012 Republican presidential nominee, and former Governor of Massachusetts Mitt Romney, is seeking re-election as party chair. Founder and CEO of MyPillow, Mike Lindell, is running to be the RNC chair against McDaniel. Lee Zeldin, an outgoing representative from New York's 1st District and this year's Republican nominee for Governor of New York, has expressed interest in running for party chair after an unsuccessful campaign against incumbent Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul. Louisiana is scheduled for another election for governor on October 14, 2023. Incumbent Democratic Governor John Bel Edwards was first elected in 2015 and re-elected in 2019. He is term limited and cannot seek re-election to a third term. Republican Senator Bill Cassidy had considered running in this election, but later declined. The other senator from Louisiana, John Kennedy, who is also a Republican, had expressed interest in running for governor and is expected to make an announcement sometime later this year or in January. Kennedy won re-election to a Senate seat this year in a landslide, winning 61.6% of the vote, and his closest opponent, Democrat Gary Chambers, won only 17.9% of the vote. Incumbent Republican Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser is considering running for governor and is expected to make a decision on January 10th. He will make his decision depending on whether or not Kennedy runs. On November 15th at 9 p.m. at Mar-a-Lago, former President Donald Trump announced his candidacy for president in 2024. This was no surprise, as another Trump candidacy was inevitable. It was not a question of if he ran, but a matter of when he would announce his candidacy. At one point, there was heavy speculation he would announce his campaign on July 4th, which was in the middle of January 6th hearings by Congress. He chose possibly one of the worst times to announce his campaign. He announced his campaign after a disappointing midterm election cycle where he was to blame for the Republicans' underperformance. After a disappointing loss in 2020 to Joe Biden, Trump refused to concede, claiming there was election fraud and worked to overturn the election results. He was to blame for inciting the attack on Capitol Hill on January 6, 2021, which was the charge for his second impeachment. This resulted in his ban from social media sites, although he was recently unbanned from Twitter after the recent acquisition deal by Elon Musk. He was at the center of many controversies and criminal investigations, a notable one being holding classified documents at his house in Mar-a-Lago. After his campaign announcement, his daughter Ivanka Trump and her husband Jared Kushner, who previously served in the Trump administration as advisors, stated that they would not support Trump politically and therefore would not be involved in his campaign. Trump had recently been in controversy for having dinner with both Nick Fuentes and Kanye West. Fuentes is a far-right political commentator who is known for his anti-Semitic and white supremacist values and remarks. West is a rapper who ran unsuccessfully for president in 2020 as an independent and recently had his Adidas contract terminated for his anti-Semitic remarks. Yup, he needs no explanation. I'm sure most of you listening already know who he is. There's a huge possibility that 2024 could be a rematch between Biden and Trump. However, Biden has yet to announce whether or not he will run for re-election. He has stated that he intends to run, however, that is not an official announcement. He stated that if he runs, Kamala Harris will once again be his running mate. If Trump wins this election, he will be the first president since Grover Cleveland to serve two non-consecutive terms. Trump has recently been declining in popularity. Recent polls putting him against Ron DeSantis, the current governor of Florida, have been in the latter's favor. YouGov had 42% support DeSantis and 35% support Trump. Ledger had 45% support DeSantis and 42% support Trump. And Quinnipiac University had 43% support DeSantis and 29% support Trump. Note, these pollsters are very well known and reputable. There have been polls in Iowa and New Hampshire which had DeSantis beating Trump. These two states are the earliest in presidential primaries. While the winner of the Iowa caucus is not guaranteed to win the nomination for president, the winner is given a large amount of media attention and publicity, which makes this state a must-win in the primaries. In the 2008 Democratic presidential primaries, then-Illinois Senator Barack Obama was trailing in the polls behind then-New York Senator and former First Lady Hillary Clinton, until Obama won the Iowa caucus, and then he was neck and neck with Clinton in the primaries and won the nomination. What's ironic is that Trump was basically the one who got DeSantis elected governor of Florida in the first place. DeSantis had been known to be one of Trump's biggest allies. Before being governor, he was a representative from Florida's 6th District. He ran for governor in 2018. Most Republican primary polls favored the then Florida Agriculture Commissioner, Adam Putnam, to be the Republican nominee for governor of Florida. It was not until Trump endorsed DeSantis that he won the nomination. DeSantis narrowly won the election against Democratic nominee Andrew Gillum, who at the time was the mayor of Tallahassee. DeSantis won 49.6% of the vote, compared to Gillum's 49.2% of the vote. As per Florida law, a recount was triggered, which still declared DeSantis the winner. DeSantis won re-election this year against Democratic nominee Charlie Crist. Crist was originally a Republican who served as governor from 2007 to 2011. He declined to seek a second term as governor and instead ran for the Senate as an independent, losing to the former Florida State House Speaker and Republican nominee Marco Rubio, who won re-election this year against Democratic Representative Val Demings from the state's 10th District. Crist ran for governor as a Democrat in 2014 to challenge incumbent Republican Governor Rick Scott, but lost narrowly. In 2016, he ran successfully for a seat in the House of Representatives in Florida's 13th district. DeSantis beat Crist with 59.4% of the vote compared to Crist's 40%. This is the first episode of the Just Know Show. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope to release more episodes and talk about the trending topics in politics. Stay tuned for more episodes. This is Just Know signing off.